Amen. God bless you all this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let us all stand and we'll open our service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to be in your house this morning, Father. And Lord, we know that there probably won't be very many times, Lord, that we get to enjoy the opportunity to worship in peace, Father, as we see the world just come into a close, Father, and one world order, and the council of churches, Father, and Rome taking control of things. Father, we pray, Lord, this morning that, Lord, you just be amongst us this morning. Lord, help us to continue to grow and to be aware, Lord, of what you are doing now, Father, and, Lord, that we may be able to just take a flight, Father, to walk like Enoch walked, Father, solely, Lord, you and I, us and you, Father, this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, help us this morning, help Brother Brian to speak your word this morning, Father, that it may just anoint our ears and our hearts, Father, to continue to grow in Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Number 369, I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joys never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Looking forward to that flight, amen. Amen. This morning we're going to take our prayer request before the Lord. Has anyone got a spoken prayer request this morning? Amen. Remember Brother Peter this morning for carpal tunnel, less the in his hand, that God would heal him up and allow him to work, you know. We'll keep him in prayer. Brother Steve wasn't feeling well this morning, so remember him in prayer. I was going to say something else. I can't remember. I'll probably remember midway through here. Let's continue to remember Brother Billy Paul, Brother Joseph, and the voice of God. Also for President Trump and the First Lady. Brethren here, and LaVon, Michael, Brother Don, Becky, Susan, all for health issues, that God would continue to keep them in his palm of his hand for healing. The message believers and the children that have returned to school, that God would keep them safe. Brother Mark Bailey's family in South Africa, and the Keller family here in Ohio. Sister Nina and Nisha Jenkins and Sister Jean Miller in the UK. Sister Dolores Caldwell and her daughter Naomi in Oregon. Betty Phillips, Brother James Phillips there in Jeffersonville. Brother Sam, Jan, Sigram, and the family there in Norway. Pastor Bernard in Switzerland. Brother Marcus and his mother there in Belgium. Brother Phil Abbott, Brother Conrad, and the family there. Brother Daniel, Sister Heidi in Australia. Brother Jean and his wife Marie in France there. Brother Charlie in the church as well. Brother Ben Caleb there in Uganda in the church. Nathan Descharme in Texas in the cell of his home in California. Brother Don and Sister Mary Hoffman in the church in Minneapolis. Brother Mario for healing. Brother Juan in Argentina for health. South Africa Pastor Brother Harold and Brother Nami. And Grace there in South Africa. In Zimbabwe, the pastors and the churches there. Tanzania for our brothers and sisters there. In the Congo as well, Brother Bill Vanga, Pastor Edmund there. Remember Brother Ernie and Marcia in Washington. And also for the bride to continue to be ready for when the Lord would call. Let's go ahead and read Psalms 91, 1 through 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, you can let the Lord know that by a lifted hand. And let's go to the Lord with prayer with all these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, we're once again grateful to you, Father, for the progress that you've given to the brothers and sisters, Father, in healing and deliverance, Father, Lord, and for those that need a special touch and that were mentioned to you this morning, Father, for Brother Peter and his hand and the mentionables, Father, that we read every Sunday, Father. We keep our brothers and sisters in heart, Lord, that we would pray for them continuously throughout the day. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. Lord, we appreciate being your children this morning, Father. Help us to stay focused, Father, and not distracted by the things around us here in the world, Father. For we know it's going to all pass away one day. Lord, this morning we want to lay our treasures up in heaven, Father, where moth and rust does not corrode, Father. Help us to continue to live the life, Lord, that you've destined us to be here on earth, Father, that we would go forth, Father, and bring forth fruit, Lord, and to be able to demonstrate you, Lord, in this dark, dark hour, Father. But the light that is here, Father, around us now is so bright. Lord, we pray, Lord, also for the lifted hands and desires that are upon our hearts this morning, Father, those that are deep in our hearts for our families, Father, for those that we wish to see saved, Father, and safely secure in the ark. Lord, we pray now, Lord, for their soul and for their life, Father, that you'd bring us all together, Father, that we may go home. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's sing number 491, "We Have Come Into His House to Magnify His Name." We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen. It's amazing to see the things of the Lord coming to pass so fast. Amen. Almost makes you feel like you're not ready, but you know where your heart stands with the Lord this morning. Brother Don, he's out there still watching the door. We'll, Brother Michael, if you'll give him a hand, we'll do our tithe and offering this morning. We've got showers of blessings going on outside, about raining sideways. Yeah, man, pray the Lord to keep our power on. Brother Michael, if you'd ask the Lord's blessing on the offering this morning. Amen. All right, upon request, we are going to do a new song this morning. So those of you that know it, sing it loud. Yeah, Christina, I'll let you do an intro.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. You are land I'm longing for you.
someday on thee I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm looking now across that river to where my faith shall end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand, and bear my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
Amen. Maybe just a smidgen high for a congregational song. We'll have to maybe bring it down, but I can sing it by myself in that chord okay at the house all by myself. Amen. We're kind of homesick for a country we've never been to. Amen. I get that feeling quite a bit. We just want to be ready that the Lord would take us home to that place He's prepared for us. God bless you now. Let us all stand and we'll sing Only Believe as we ask Brother Brian to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
I'm going to bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together to worship you in spirit and truth, believing, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that your word is life. And so, Father, we thank you for that life. Thank you for the ability to receive your word and to have that life of your word, your life, grow within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to examine paragraph 175, where Brother Branham said they tried to hide him behind there. They did for years. But the time of the promise drew near. God raised up a Moses one time and he set the children free from them things. And he's still, and he can't be conquered. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, they say it can't be done, but it was done. Then, when it was done, they said it's of the devil. But that don't change the word of God a bit. It still remains God to the believer. The mighty conqueror, the same yesterday, today, and forever, by his nature and by his word, Hebrews 13 and 8. So let me put that up on the screen for you. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, where do you suppose the Apostle Paul got that from? Well, you might say from the angel of the Lord, but the same messenger of God, the same apostle of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he said in Galatians 1, 6-9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, notice he said, though we, meaning not only himself, but if any man, any apostle, any preacher, any fivefold minister, or any prophet of God, including William Branham, if any man, or he says, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So, this includes not only himself, but any man who claims to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any man, and the Bible doesn't care who it is. It says, if any man, which includes prophet messengers as well. So Paul didn't get it from an angel. People want to say, oh, William Brown, the angel always talked to him. No, he didn't. He did sometimes. But most of the time, his revelation came because he had the Holy Ghost, and when he opened the Word, he saw what the Word was saying. You understand, it's no different for you and I. But he trusted what God said God means. Now, so Paul didn't get it from an angel. No. And he didn't get it from any man either. So where did Paul get the words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He got it from God's Word. That's where he got it. I can show you that every line of Scripture you read must dovetail from Genesis to all the way to Revelations, or you have your understanding skewed somehow. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, we read, For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, if he is the Lord and changes not, then he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see where Paul got it from? Right? So what Paul said comes right from the Holy Scripture. He did not add to it, nor did he take away from it. He just gave a little more light on who this Lord is that changes not, when he said he is Jesus Christ, who is the same and changes not. In other words, Malachi 3 doesn't say his name, but Hebrews 13 and 8 does. That's the only difference. Now, can you see that? Paul did not add to what the Scripture said. And William Branham told us he only preached what Paul preached. And we know that Paul only preached what the Scripture said before him. So you can trace this all the way back to the book of Numbers, if you will, and before that to the book of Genesis. So let's do it. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Where do we hear that be? It's over in Hebrews. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What's that saying? He's the same. He doesn't change. If he says it, he's going to do it. So what does that mean? It means that if he changes not, then his nature is such that his nature cannot change either. And therefore, if God says he will do something, then he is obligated to himself to make sure he does what he said he will do, or he's not God. Notice the wording. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And this promise goes way back to God's promise with Abraham. When he promised Abraham three things, the covenant that God had made between Abraham and himself consisted of three separate parts. First, God promised him numerous descendants as the stars of the sky. Second, the promise to bless him in giving him the promised land. And finally, God promised him redemption. And God made good on every one of them, those promises, showing what he said he is obligated to do, making him the same, and he changes none. Now let's go back to Numbers 23:19 again. Again, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. We find the Apostle Paul also quoting this in several of his epistles. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, see that's Numbers 23:19, we might have a strong consolation who have fled the refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. And in Titus, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie, he promised before the world. Okay, Paul's twice there quoting Numbers 23:19. So this one that cannot lie, he tells us in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. So this one that cannot lie said, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? So we see that what God promised to do, he is obligated to do. And he cannot change what he promised, or he would not be God. From spiritual amnesia, Brother Ram says, look, I can't make Christ do nothing. Christ don't have to do anything but one thing. He has to keep his word. He must do that in order to be Christ, to be God. He must keep his word. And from the paradox, he said, was a paradox vindicated, and is then to be the gospel truth. A gospel that had promised this, and here it happened and vindicated what it was. Now, let me give you a great noble paradox here, just a minute. In John 14:12, that's a paradox, okay? Jesus said, he promised that the believer that believed on him should do the same works. Is that right? God who makes a law or promise must keep that promise to be God. So either there's only been one believer down through the ages and his name was William Branham, or that doctrine is false doctrine. And when you add to, or you take away, in this case, they're taking away. What does it say? Well, I'll just leave it. He does keep it. To think that God, why, it's a paradox itself for God, who makes a promise and cannot break that promise, to give that promise to, of the things that he did to these people, people, plural, to follow through the ages until he returned again. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, all the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them, plural, that believe. He's got to keep that word. And because he said it, and it went from his mouth, it's got to be fulfilled. All scripture's got to be fulfilled. So it's a paradox alone to hear Jesus, the Son of God, make such a statement as that, the things that I do, will you do also. Now the Bible said in Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a paradox because it has to be done. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word that I've ever said will ever fail. He said it. It has to be done. Now, let's go back to what he said in Malachi. And not only read again from verse 6, but what he immediately says before and after, and see if we're not looking at the same projection of God as an unchanging God all the way through. Malachi 3:6. We read, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, my commands, my words, and have not kept them. So he is saying, I don't change. I do what I promise to do. But you are the ones who don't keep your commitments. You are the ones who go away from your commitments. But then the grace of God comes out and he says, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? And if you continue to read in verse 9 and on, you'll see what they left off doing and the excuse for not doing what they had committed to do. Now let's go back to Hebrews 13:7 and read what Paul says before and after verse 8 to get a better understanding of what he's saying in verse 8. In verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith, whose revelation follow, considering the end or the outcome of their conversation. And this word conversation doesn't mean to speak. It's actually a Greek word which means their behavior. So follow their behavior. All right. In other words, by their fruits you shall know them. Therefore, if they are truly preaching the word of God, and Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life and they are truth, then those words which are spirit and truth and life will produce in those speaking the very same nature of the life of that word. And that will show in their behavior. And this word conversation means their behavior. And he says, considering the end of their, or the outcome of their behavior, you will see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because it's the same life in another vessel. But it's the same nature. It does the same thing and acts the same way. And then Paul says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart or the understanding be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Therefore, in going back to examine the words Brother Bram says in paragraph 175, he said they tried to hide him because behind there, they did for years, but the time of the promise drew near. So how did they try to hide him? By their offering something else that was not him. As we mentioned last week, by offering to God their traditions and creeds that they interjected into their religious observances of God, all God wants is his word given back to him, nothing added to it, and nothing taken from it. And then Brother Bram continues, God raised up a Moses one time, and he set the children free from them things. And he can't be conquered. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they say, well, it can't be done. But it was done. Then, when it was done, they said, it's of the devil. But that don't change the word of God. Not a bit. It still remains God to the believer. The mighty God, the mighty conqueror, the same yesterday, today, and forever, by his nature, by his word, Hebrews 13 and 8. So I want you to understand in what we're looking, just looking at one thought today, and that's God's word is his nature. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the understanding, the mouth speaketh, the actions do. All right? So we're looking at the nature of God and his word because he is the word. The Bible teaches us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Therefore, what a man thinks is what he is. And when he speaks it, that spoken word is an expression of who the man is. And it will therefore be the same as what he is, or he's a hypocrite. So we're getting right down to the nature of things. A man thinks in his heart, and his nature expresses what is in his heart. And so what he does is a reflection of what he is to begin with. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, it is the spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are not only spirit, but they are life. And since the spirit makes alive, he's saying, the words I speak unto you not only make alive, but they give life, for they are life, my life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he is. And since that is what he is, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, Brother Bram says, from Christ revealed in his own word, he said, my words are spirit and life. Jesus said that, again, the word is the seed that the sower sowed. We know that what that's true. It's God in word form, and it can only be interpreted by himself. The human mind is not capable to interpret the mind of God. How can a little finite mind interpret the infinite mind when we can't even interpret one another's mind? Boy, that's the truth. And you know, he is the only one can interpret it, and he interprets it to whom he will. It didn't say mortals of old as they strode across the earth in sundry times and diverse manners. But it said God in sundry times and diverse manners revealed himself to his prophets. See? From why I'm against organized religion, Brother Bram said, now, did you see and notice, Jesus never answered his question. He just rebuked him for his blindness. See? More than a prophet, he was the word and the shining light of the word. He was God shining through a instrumentality, proving that it was God in the man. He was the Word. 1 John, the first chapter, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here was the Word of God shining through this little frail frame of a man. And it blinded the organization, but he come to get individuals. More than a prophet, he was the Word. He is life. He didn't have to teach you of some life to come. He was that life himself. He was life. He was light. He was life. He was eternal life was in him. And he alone is the giver of life, of eternal life. He that has a son has life. So you can't just have the word teaching of him. You've got to have him. Now, to be more even more specific, let's just look at this again. 1 John chapter 5, he that has a son has life. That's what Brother Branham is quoting. So we need to read that from God's Word and show you exactly how that if you have him, you have life. Because, look, there's many people that you could say, well, they possessed him. Well, they grabbed Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Those guys didn't have life, but they possessed him. They had him. That's not what he's talking about. You see? In 1 John 5, 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, if they had left the Greek word and not translated it, the meaning would have been altogether different. The Greek word for a hath is the word echo, and it is the same in English. It's the same in French. It's the same in Spanish, only there's a little bit of a hyphen over that, in Portuguese, and even in German, although in some it is spelled E-C-O, while in others it's spelled E-C-H-O, or in Norwegian it's spelled E-K-K-O. But it is the same word echo, and it means the same in every language. It means to reflect back or to give back the same sound. So, if we now read that, as it was actually spoken by John, he said in 1 John 5 and 12, he that echoes the Son echoes the life. And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not the life. So the echo is, look, when you have a heart, you know, when they check you in your heart, it's called an echocardiogram. What are they doing? They're checking the echo. Is the heart pumping? Is it beating? All right? What is the sound of it? And why is that? Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. Right? And since the Spirit of God is God's life, then no man can understand the things of God, God's Word, unless he has Holy Ghost life. He that echoes the Son echoes the same life, because you understand it. Now that's why you can have people follow the message of God for 30 to 40 years and still have no clue what the message of God is. Because how can they understand the manifestation of the Word if they cannot understand the Word itself? And they don't manifest the Word because they don't have the life in there to manifest. So it's to them a doctrinal thing. Now 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 tells us, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, experienced, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart the thoughts or the understanding of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, or has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the Spirit of man be in him? Even so, or in the same way, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, when we read this statement, sometimes the Word of God is said in such a way as to distract a person who is not meant to understand. Like when we just read, now we have received, and then he says, not the Spirit of the world. So you're thinking, we have received, but then he says, not the Spirit of the world. And so all of a sudden your mind is just stopped. All right? Well, I'm so interested in knowing, I'm not interested in knowing what we have not received, but rather what we have received that allows us to know the things of God. So if we would read this in a way that places the emphasis on what we received that allows us to know the things of God, it would read as thus. And now we have received the Spirit which is of God in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God and not the Spirit of the world. Now we have a conception here, or you know, we have an affirmative understanding that when we receive the Spirit of God, we understand or we know the things of God. And then he says, and not the Spirit of the world, because that would keep us clueless to the things of God, not having his Spirit. Then Paul continues, which things also we speak, in words which man's wisdom teaches, in words which man's wisdom actually doesn't teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Again, if we were to place the emphasis on the things which we speak and teach, it would read, which things also we speak, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Then he nails it down in the next verse where he says, but the natural man, the man that is not born from above, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them. because they are spiritually discerned, or they are discerned, perceived, recognized, and apprehended fully by the Spirit. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, he that is Spirit-filled, judges, that same Greek word is discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. You know, we look at these, sometimes the King James Version does more damage than it does good. And we so it says, you know, that, well, you know, we can judge all things, but, you know, we're judged of no one. And you know, that's not what it says here. Because we look at judging as, you know, well, how can people not judge us? They're doing it every day. They're calling us, you know, all kinds of names and everything else. You know, they're judging us. That's not what it says. It says, but he that is spiritual discerns all things. And yet he himself is discerned of no man. In other words, because they have not the same Spirit of God in them as you, they cannot discern where you're coming from, no more than they can understand or discern the things of God. For who hath known, who has ginosko, or who has experientially known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind, the understanding of Christ. Again, we see in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see, shall not experience life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we come to Brother Branham's sermon, the spoken word's original seed, and he says, there's where the hybriding come. Didn't come through Adam. Shame on you who don't see that. See, it's not Adam's fault. He had nothing to do with it. If death come by Adam, then it come by God. Death come by a crossbreeding. Death can't come by God's word. Death comes by crossbreeding. Crossbreeding it to denomination creeds. Instead of Christ, dogma instead of the word. It doesn't come by the word. The word is life. Jesus said, my words are life. And the Spirit quickens that word and makes it life. To crossbreed it, there's where the death comes from. And if Adam be God's word, his spoken word, his original seed, for he was the first, then by creation, then his second Adam was also by creation, spoken word. You follow? Now, Adam was not deceived, but his bride was deceived. Christ today is not deceived. The word is not deceiving. It's the bride that's doing the deceiving by the word. You see it? You see, it all goes back to the Father who is life, as we read in John 5:26, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so has he given to the Son to echo life in himself. And that is how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As Brother Brown said, the same yesterday, today, and forever, by his nature, by his word. So as the word is life, and the life is expressed through the nature of the Spirit, and the nature of the Spirit, therefore, is who you are, it's your soul, it's your Zoe. From Questions and Answers, Brother Brown tells us, this is a dying spirit and a dying body, but now you can't be in two bodies at one time. But there can be two natures in you at one time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born a physical like the baby was. But what's happened? The spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the Spirit comes in. And when the Spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. And from the token, he says, now the soul is the nature of the Spirit, of course. Now, we're going to get to these in just a minute. From the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, Brother Branham tells us, but when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, there's only one avenue, and that's birth. Birth. It's just like a person, like I've said many times, like a blackbird sitting on a limb, trying to put peacock feathers in his wings, and said, you see, I'm a strutting peacock. See? He stuck them feathers in himself, and if he was a genuine peacock, his nature would have put forth that kind of a feather. If the church of the living God is the church of the living God, it'll put forth the word of the living God. You don't have to add peacock feathers no more, and every feather in there will be joined to a peacock. You can't believe that. You can believe that. And every feather that's joined into the church of God will be the word of God. He'll never inject anything else but the word. Amen. Because the nature of the Spirit puts out only the Word. Amen. I'm getting to feel religious right now. Then from his sermon, the Messiah, Brother Brown tells us, Now, for instance, when a man gets saved, he's just about like the light that comes into him is about, he says, about like a little white button on my shirt. All right, that's when God comes into the inner part of the man, in the inner part of a man, or a man is made up in the system of tabernacle, in the outer court, then holy place, and then holiest of holies, the Shekinah glory on the inside, the veil. Now, on the outside gates of a man is five senses that enters his body, or on the inside, which is his soul, the soul is the nature of the Spirit that's on the inside of his heart, produces his soul, which makes the atmosphere around him. He has also five entrances. Then on the inside, he has only one gate, one entrance, to go into the Shekinah glory, where God can enter into him and take over in the control tower, and that way is through self-will. Whether you will or not, that's up to you. But that's the only avenue that's open to the man that God can come into his heart is by self-will. Puts him right back, like Adam and Eve, on free moral agency again. You can choose right or wrong, either one that you want to. And then from Revelation chapter 4, part 3, from Throne of Mercy, he says, now, how is his body controlled? Now watch real close, and you get your pencils ready. Now, here's a gate on this side that goes into the body, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, you see, you got that draw. Now, the first gate over here is see, smell here, taste, and touch, or feel. Either one it wants to be, no, it doesn't matter. Now, that's the sense in the body. Is that right? How many knows that? Six senses control the body. Now, we got a soul. After you get through this, the sense is outside. That's the outer system. Now, in here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 attributes in the soul. Now, you want to write them down. The first one is imagination. The second one is conscience. The third one is memory. The fourth one is reason. And the fifth one is affection. Now, did you get them all? If you don't, let me know. You got them all. See, taste, feel, smell, hear the body. That's the open to the body. The soul is imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. Is the senses or the attributes, or like the senses of the soul. And the soul is the nature of the Spirit that's on the inside, because the souls only put out an atmosphere of what's on the inside of you. It takes the place of sanctification, the soul. The soul is. It sets in the same category there. All right, now, everybody got that all down. All right. Sounds like we're getting a lot of wind out there. All right, from Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, Brother Branson, now, on this system of body and soul. Now, if you'll get the word soul and look it up, it'll tell you in the Bible dictionary or Webster's, any one of them, it is the nature of the Spirit. Now, here's a man that we say is John Doe. Now, this is a very important quote. All right, we got John Doe, and then here's, you got John Doe over here and Sam Doe over here. All right. Now, John Doe is a man, body. He's a brother to Sam Doe. Now, John is a spirit, soul, body, and Sam is the same thing, body, soul, spirit. So you see, it's body, soul, spirit, body, soul, spirit. Now, this man is evil. I mean, he cheats, he steals, he lies, he commits adultery, any evil thing that he can do, but this man is full of love, peace, joy. But they both have a soul, a body, and a spirit. Well, what's the difference? This man can go back and say, I remember my mama, I remember things that we done when we were boys. Both of them can do that. They both got spirits, they both got souls, they both got bodies. But the nature of this man's spirit is evil. The nature of this man's spirit is good. See? So the nature of the Spirit is the soul of man. See? So now, God is trying to get into the what? The spirit and the heart of man, where the Spirit lays in the heart. So, in other words, you could have twins, okay? Because we're talking about Bible twins. Cain and Abel. One of them both of them worship, they sacrifice to God. You know, both sang out the same songbook, so to speak. But one of them could lie, could kill, could hate. And the other one was full of love and respect for mom and dad and all those things, okay? So, what's the difference? It's the soul, because that's the nature. And the nature is who you are. It's your life. It's the expression of the life that's in you. You see? Now, from faithful Abraham, Brother Bassett, but the children of Abraham had the promise. Now look, Abraham was just an ordinary man, perhaps come out of a family of idolatry, because they came out of Babylon, the land of Shinar, where they worship and all kinds of different things and roots and so forth, and all kinds of isms. Then spirits from back in Genesis, they're still living today, alive today. That's what makes these cults and so forth. And if you go back into Genesis, if anybody ever read Hyssop's Two Babylons or some of the ancient historians, you'll see the nature of a lot of these cults today that's in the land. The nature of them is way back in the beginning in Genesis. And the nature of God is still moving on today, just like the false things and right things. Watch the nature of it. Now, if you are the nature of the Spirit of God that was on Abraham, then you believe... And you believe God's promise. We're still on? Okay. Well, I mean, turn this down. I'm still on there, too. Just wow, I mean, you can see the leader flying horizontal.
Those are guys on 50.
Huh?
Those are guys on
50. 50, okay. All right, well. Let me just... I was trying to get done before this all comes. So. Let me go down to... All right. Okay, anyway, I've got lots of quotes here. I'm just going to kind of skip through them because they all say basically the same thing. You know, Brother Brown said, the flesh has got to die, it's got to perish. So did the soul have to perish, the thoughts. The soul is the nature of the spirit, and those thoughts and so forth, if you had to perish before the new man could be born into you to make you a new creature. So you really you had to come to a place where you're willing to die to your nature. You recognize your nature is not right and everything else. You die to that, and then God comes in and He places that new nature in you. All right? And then here, I'm just going to read the highlights. It says, we know what the spirit is. It controls the flesh. But what is the soul? The soul is the nature of the spirit. I'm just going to skip through these. Well, we just have two more to go and we'll be done. From examining healing and Jairus, said many times that we judge people by their actions and sometimes we don't judge the heart. You know, I've often thought back, here is the spirit of a man, the next is his soul, the next is his mind, and then his flesh, all right? Satan does not tempt down in here, he tempts out here in the flesh. For instance, you go down the street, you're walking along singing Christian songs, and somebody says, and you know, he's just a hypocrite, you know, talk about you, and there's nothing. Now, the first thing, your flesh picks that up by the ear, and it suggests to the mind, get even with him. Time it gets back here, it says, this back here says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, that's it. So Satan tempts out here in the flesh. You see, he doesn't get down here in the soul because it's immortal. See, it's the flesh that he tempts. The young man going down the street, young Christian boy, a young lady comes immorally dressed, the eye picks it up. The flesh suggests to the mind. Then time it gets back to the mind or into the soul, goes into the soul, nature's good. The soul in the man is the nature of the spirit, of course. And so when the soul gets there, but the spirit says, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery within her heart, well, the young man turns his head and walks away. That's down here, in there, it's got to be, not out here, see? It's got to be down in the heart where it's got to come from where God lives. And finally, from cruelty of sin, he says, made him out of the dust of the earth. Now, not in his own image, but he had already made the man. Then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So the soul of man is a nature of the spirit. And when you're reborn, you don't get a new spirit. You get a new nature of the spirit. It's the same spirit, but a new nature of it. You take two men, stand together, both look alike, and one of them is a sinner, one of them is a Christian. One man is, say, I got the spirit, the same as you, see? But one of them is different, his soul, his nature is different, he's been changed. Right. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, and this storm coming across, we just know that your word has come across as well. Help us just understand, Lord, that when we look in the mirror of your word, we're to look at the nature that's in us. And is our nature in us just wanting to fuss all the time, or is our nature in us praying for the other person? And that's really what we should be doing, Father. So we just commit our life and the way that we live, the way that we live it, that it might reflect your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give